A recent text message to producer Austin Ramsey read, "Are you ready to plunge more than 800 feet underground tomorrow?" Under any circumstance, such a message might seem a bit troubling, and today for two journalists it did spark a little bit of apprehension. That text message came from Steve Henry, who's a veteran coal miner and face boss for his unit at Warrior Coal's Cardinal Mine No. 2. Henry is one of the more than 4,000 people employed by coal companies in 10 western Kentucky counties. The Cardinal Mine offices sit on top of the No. 11 coal seam and a maze of tunnels filled with machinery and workers that stretches more than 11 miles. With hard hats, coal miner headlamps, and a GPS tracking unit, the three of us are headed underground.
We're going to be getting on our elevator here. As you can see, it's a 16-person capacity elevator. This is also that intake shaft where the air is going down. As you get ready to step up, as you'll notice, we're standing over about an 800-foot drop. That's something that I don't know that I'll ever get 100% used to, is standing over that. Now, if you can take that in comparison to size, I believe that the Batman building in Nashville is about 630-foot, so we're actually going to be dropping in deeper than the length of what the AT&T building is in Nashville. Whenever you get on, it's very simple.
There are two buttons, up or down. It takes about 4 minutes to drop into the mine. The suction of air coming through the shaft is deafening when the elevator hits the bottom. The fresh air moving through this tunnel circulates through the miles of pathways to flush out the poisonous and flammable gases released when chewing through coal. When Henry opens the elevator's metal door, the three of us walk out into a mined seam of Kentucky coal. Murray State geologist George Kippett.
Well, coal, and particularly Kentucky coal, is the remnants and remains of vegetation that grew long ago, that's accumulated in large amounts in certain special types of environments, particularly marshes and wetlands. The remains of that material has been buried and heated and compressed and subject to biological activity. And over the course of millions of years, it has been transformed from vegetation into the substance that we call coal. Similar processes can also result in the production of oil and natural gas.
An easy way to remember some details about West Kentucky coal is to think of three U.S. states. Kentucky coal is found in the Illinois Basin that was formed during the Pennsylvanian period, which occurred between 325 and about 300 million years ago. Kippett says during that period, and for much of Kentucky's geological history, the Commonwealth was under ancient seas and near the equator. Back in the mine, we board a four-person diesel ride. It's short and squatty to navigate some low roof areas, but in general, this mine has about 6 to 7 feet of clearance. Our miner headlamps light up the path ahead of us while Henry prepares us for our meeting with the unit.
There's only one thing that really upsets a coal miner, and it's probably the worst thing you can do is to put your light in his eyes. If you notice, most people think that coal miners keep their hat cocked just a little bit because they want to look cool. But the reason actually they keep it cocked a little bit is because they're looking here, but their light's shining there, yeah. So I can look at you in the face, yeah. But yet my light is shining over to the side of you.
On our way to the face of the mine, we're stopped by 32-year mining veteran Tracy Brashear, whose job with Cardinal is to maintain 6 miles of belts that transport coal out of the mine. He's covered in sweat and coal dust.
Well, you know, my great-granddad mined, granddad was a miner, my dad was a miner, so, you know, we work in the dark so everybody else don't have to. I've done it all. Belt mechanic, car driver, pin man, loader man, miner man, cutter man, face boss. Nah, I worked 13 years on surface.
What do you prefer, underground or above ground?
Well, outside.
Yeah.
You know, golly, anybody be stupid enough to work outside where you see the sun and the stars.
Brashear has recently recovered from open heart surgery and says he feels better than he has in a decade, but not good enough to tell us how he received his nickname, Feeder Pig, which is printed on a label on the side of his miner hat.
I want to know how you got your nickname.
I'm not going to tell you.
You can't tell me. Is it offensive? Is it R-rated?
No.
Oh.
I've had that name since I was in the fifth grade.
So no story about feeder pig.
No, not today.
Well, if you change your mind.
All right, tomorrow's not looking good neither.
All right. Well, what's your nickname, Steve?
I don't have one.
I don't believe it.
No, know. Really, I don't.
I thought you said every coal miner has a nickname.
Almost every coal miner.
Except for Steve.
Yeah, except for me.
In his 32 years of mining, Feeder Pig says he's never witnessed a fatality, but he has been injured.
Well, I got mashed between a scoop and a rib.
A scoop picks up loose coal, and a rib is the wall of the mine.
I'd been in the mines 4 months, and I just climbed out of the deck of scoop, and another scoop come by and caught the bucket and pushed it over the rib, and I was about halfway out of it. Had two broke ribs, pinched my leg pretty good right there in that muscle. I was on crutches for about 6 weeks.
Underground coal mining is no doubt a dangerous job. Along with avoiding massive pieces of machinery operating in pitch dark, miners are constantly aware of possible roof falls or wall failures and monitoring air quality. Advances in technology and increased safety regulations have made coal mining much safer, but Steve Henry is acutely aware of the risks of going down in a coal mine.
I have an absolute routine that I do each day, but it's not one that I take for granted. I'll go to my daughter's room and I'll kiss her bye and tell her that I love her. I'll go down to my son's room. I'll kiss him goodbye, tell him that I love him, and then I'll do the same for my wife. And I do not know of a day, unless I've been on a different shift, that they've been home, that I've not kissed them and told them that I loved them before I left. And then on the work, there's not a day that's went by that I can remember that I didn't pray somewhere along the way for God just giving me the wisdom and the patience and understanding that whatever comes before me that day, that I'll make the right decision.
Henry and Brashear say they're both lucky enough to have never witnessed a fatality while working in an underground mine. But Warrior Coal, which operates the Hopkins County mine, has had its share of tragedy, with 3 accident-related fatalities in their mines since 2001. Most miners agree one of the more dangerous jobs in an underground coal mine is that of a pinner. Pinners follow the continuous miner and drill 4-foot holes into the unsupported roof and insert an epoxy and steel rods with bottom plates every 4 feet. Steve Henry.
You have two operators on each side of it. They work as a team. The thing about a pin man is he's walking where no man's walked before, or at least for a long time. Even though that miner man is minded, that miner man has stood underneath the pins. And what they'll do is they'll pull up and they'll put the pins in.
Jason Dirks is a pinner on today's crew, and of course he has a nickname.
What's your nickname?
Dirks.
Dirks?
Yeah.
So is it just based on your last name, nothing special?
Nothing special for me.
Dirks has been a pinner for 3 years and understands the dangerous nature of his job.
Nah, you get used to it.
Yeah.
Make sure to listen and be aware at all times.
What lets you know something's not right?
Popping, cracking.
Yes, those popping and cracking noises that you hear are chunks of coal popping off the walls around us.
Things taking way. You can judge by just basically sound and looking at it.
Dirks and every other miner that we've encountered on this trip are second or third generation miners. And as an 18-year veteran face boss, Steve Henry says these miners are here because they want to be.
I think there is a persona that people have that a coal miner is the victim, because when you start seeing lobbyists and different ones that take different sides of the picture, one of those sides that people take is that coal miners are oppressed and they're having to almost be forced into working in the coal mines because that's the only choice that they have, which is absolutely false. We all have choices. I mean, we choose to come and do our jobs each day, and I think we're very intelligent people. We're able to go and do a job that not everybody can do, and I think that we take a lot of pride in what we do. There's people that wants to argue that we need to do away with coal mining simply because how that it hurts the people, and how that coal miners are somewhat not able to think for themselves. And I don't want us to have that perception. I don't want people to think that. I mean, we go and do a job. It's a job that becomes part of us. Both my granddads was coal miners. My dad was coal miner. Just almost all my uncles was coal miner. My father-in-law was coal miner. My brother-in-law was coal miner. I mean, it actually becomes who you are.